You're listening to the MMAMadhouse.com Clips of the Week.
All calls featured are real and performed by one man. The Phone Jacker.
Hello, yes. Could you check something for me to see if it's in stock?
What is it, sir?
It's a Luch Duft player.
Sorry?
Duft player.
What is that, sorry?
It's play Dufte.
Plays what?
Dufte.
Dufte?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're...
You know Duft?
No, I don't.
You know he used to have the Betamax, and
then
he changed to the Verse?
You have VHS?
Yes.
You want a VHS player?
No, I don't want Verse. I want Duft.
By Duft?
Duft.
Okay, I have no idea what Duft is.
Duft, Duft. You want me to spell?
Yes.
Is it D?
Yeah.
V?
Oh, DVD.
Dufte.
DVD.
Dufte.
Hold on. I don't know anything about Duft player. Okay, all I know is DVD player.
Dufte, yes.
They start from £60 upwards.
£60 for one Duft?
Yes.
How much you sell me Lucrative?
Which one?
Lucrative.
What is that?
I used to have the plasma turf, and now I want you to buy the look at the turf.
Are you trying to say LCD?
Look at it, yes.
No, look, don't say look at it, I don't know what... It's LCD.
Yes, look at it.
No, we have LCD.
Well, what make you have in the look at it?
Well, what make do you want in a look at it?
A Juvk.
Sorry?
A Juvk look at
it. Yes, we have JVC, is that what you're trying to say?
Juvk.
No, JVC.
Juvk.
No, JVC.
No, Juvk.
I don't have any jerk.
No, jerk.
No, we don't have such a make as jerk.
Not jerk. I don't say jerk. I say
no,
jerk.
I'm saying jerk because, you know, I don't understand. If you're saying JVC, then say JVC.
Jufke.
No. There's no Jufke. It's JVC. If that's what you want, then let's talk.
You have the Jufke.
No, I don't have Jufke. And, you know,
what is Jufke then?
If you're going, look, you know, what am I supposed to tell you?
What is your problem?
I don't have any problem. The problem is with you.
First you tell me you don't sell Dufte, and then you tell me you do
sell
Dufte.
Listen, I don't have Jufke.
Listen,
jerk. I said, we don't have jerk.
I don't want the jerk.
I want Jufke. Say what you want exactly. I don't understand what you're trying to tell
okay.
me.
Okay, I tell you from the beginning, okay? I want one Jufke Dufte player.
I don't know what
and
you
I
mean
want
by
one
Jupiter. No, excuse me.
Juvke, look
no,
at the turf.
Listen, I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
The hood.
I don't know anything about
ready
Jupiter.
For the
I don't
hood.
Know anything about
ready
jerk.
For the hood. Is it ready for the hood?
Sorry?
Is it ready for the hood?
It's ready for what?
The hood, you know? Hood.
We'll be right back. Welcome to the show. Let's kick it off. Kicking it off right now. The clip of the week from Sunday Night Fights Live. Here we go.
California, now it's time to go south and talk about a phenomenal promotion who has successfully continued to just pack the house, put on some of the most exciting fights out there. And it looks like we have Mr. Lopez from Epic Fighting Live with us. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good right here.
Hey, for all the fans out there listening around the world tonight, introduce yourself and the title at the company.
My name is Iram Tony Lopez, and I work for Epic Fighting. I'm the promoter, like the VP. Jason Stewart is the owner of Epic Fighting, and he just started about 4 years ago. He had an idea that he trains all the arts, and he has medals, trophies, and all that. So he wanted to start a promotion, and he did, and it's been booming for the last 4 years.
Yeah, you guys are coming up in, about 21 days to Epic Fighting 26. So, I mean, you
Correct.
Guys aren't new kids on the block anymore.
Nah, our 26th show, I've been working a lot on this show, and we got a couple things that we've never had before. So I have a live band coming. They're called Melapelas. They do rock, reggae, and everything else. And they're blowing up too. And I have this gym called the Grinder Gym in San Diego. Also, they're bringing about 10 arm wrestling tables, so people could arm wrestle for free as well.
Yes. Okay, I'm telling you right now. We sponsor a fighter out in the Midwest, and in his spare time, he covers events for us. And he showed up at an event last summer, and they had some arm wrestling tables, and ended up finishing second in a tournament. And he's now taking it and started doing pro competitions. I love that idea. Arm wrestling is such an exciting, quick sport. I think that's super cool.
Yes, and then I'm co-hosting one of the events after. So ours is on Friday, September 26th. The guy from Grinder Gym, he's having an event on Saturday, September 27th, and I've been helping him out with our promotion and helping him out as well. So we're going to be promoting his event as well. It's going to be his first year, so we're doing a collaboration with Epic Fighting.
Now, you touched on the band. Now, I want to touch on that for a second for fans to kind of understand. Now, you have two different style of MMA events that go on with bands, like Gracian in Japan. The band plays throughout the whole night, and even through the fights. And then you have, like, USSF in South Carolina, that in between the intermissions is when the band plays. Which one are we going to see from you guys?
We're going to have an intermission, so they're probably going to play for about 45 minutes. Setup is probably about 8 minutes, and breakdown about 5. So I was going to have them from 6 to 7, but that's the time when we open the doors. So we decided we're going to have them from the halftime show better.
Yeah, nice. I like that.
And then during the fights and everything, we have a live DJ. You know, he's spinning all the best hits and the fighters to their walkout songs and everything. So it's DJ Roman Empire. So
Now you guys have some great matchmaking. I mean,
our matchmaker is Heather Hyatt. She's been doing it for quite a while, and She actually won an award, I think, at the beginning of the year for Matchmaker of the Year for last year.
Nice, nice. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we fought for you guys last year at the fair, and it was a great show. We loved it. You know, if I had any more active amateurs, I'd love to be back with Epic. But
okay,
yeah, right,
yeah,
now I got to build up my amateur ranks again.
Okay. Yeah, we're working on having Emmy/Pro shows very soon now. So yeah, our fighters.
When you're ready for the pros, you have Heather contact me. I got a stable of fighters out here in the LA area. We'll be more than happy to go down to Dago and whoop some ass.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, now that's something, you know, in the previous hour of the show, we had talked about some of the bad side of promoters that aren't, you know, put together and on their game like yourself. Something that you mentioned to me is that your fighters who go out and fight for your organization, as they sell tickets, you guys use a promo code for each fighter to help return, you know, some kind of thank you back to the fighter, correct?
Yes, we give we set up every fighter with a with a code, either their first or last name, and we give them 25% of all total sales. Also, we have a lot of sponsors, so we have like Mulatto Designs. He makes our shirts, so we give all the fighters always walkout shirts if they decide to use it or not. But at the weigh-ins, we give them shirts. We try to hook them up with little prizes in here and there, you know, and goodie gifts. So we're always it's all about the fighters. You know, if the fighters are happy, they bring their fans, and, you know, it's a ripple effect. So that's how we kind of run our show. It's all about the fighters. A lot of people emphasize on the models, you know, but they're really not there to watch the models. So, you know, but we do have a – yes.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
No, we also have a Epic Promo Girl, so we have our modeling agency as well, but we don't – we push it, but not at our shows as much. You know, we don't want to take the attention from the fighters.
Well, you know, you talked about hooking up the fighters with shirts at the weigh-ins. Now, I've been to a few events where we see the weigh-ins might be considered the last ditch effort to get the last ticket sales, to let your fighters with their sponsors really hype themselves, because obviously walking out, it's a very quick walkout, usually lights. The guy rips off his clothes, gets in the cage, and fights. But at a weigh-in for you guys, do you do the whole, you know, shebang and give these guys time to get all the photographs and to make sure their sponsors are represented in the photos and all that stuff?
Yes. So a lot of most of the fighters that have sponsorships for their banners is Team Quest Temecula, the Dan Henderson gym. They always have banners. So, and I used to train under Dan Henderson as well at Team Quest. So they're probably the only ones who actually bring a banner and their walkouts, but there's a lot of fighters that have their own shirts as well. So, you know, if they have their own banners and sponsors, you know, we let them. There's other organizations that don't let that happen because they're not making no money off of them. So we just let them do their thing. So.
Okay, cool. I like that. You know, I'm a big fan of weigh-ins. First of all, as media, it's really the last chance we get to talk to a fighter before they go to the cage, because obviously it's hard to get a good interview when the guy's hand's getting wrapped or he's trying to warm up. He's in a totally different place. But, you know, usually after the weigh-ins, you know, a good promoter has it set up to where, you know, fans and media can interact with fighters. And I think it's important. And I like the fact that you guys make sure that these guys are being representative and their sponsors are as well.
Yes. Our weigh-ins are usually on Thursday in the morning or Friday right in the morning. So they bring their families. They could take pictures when they're squaring off and so forth. But usually, you know, we don't have a problem. And then we take pictures. Right now I'm working on a banner where I'm having all the fighters that have fought for us three or more times. They're going to be on the banner, you know, just to give them like a shout out and stuff. So,
okay. So with that being said, how did you guys pick? Because let's be honest, 26 events, average 10 fights an event. That's 260 fights. You know, that's over 500 fighters. How did you pick? Was it something that you guys sat down as a team, or were you guys like, oh, this one fight, we got to put him on there? Or did you guys go by titles? How did this work?
Right now, I'm working on it. It's going to be a big banner. I think the bigger, the better. So right now we have a backdrop that's about 18 feet. So I'm thinking about making a banner that big with all the fighters. It's just a lot of fighters have fought, but not more than three times. So it'll minimize a lot of fighters that have fought for us. That'll win.
I like it. That's cool. Now, talking about the past history of fights, do you have a fight that you might say is your favorite that you've ever seen go down in the Epic Fighting Cage?
Epic 16, last January 2013, we had 20 fights on the card. That's the most we've ever had.
Wow.
Insane day, huh?
Same day. We had no intermission. We opened at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6 every time, and National Anthem at 7 o'clock. We started the fights right away. The last fight ended about 11:57, and my boss was worried because if it gets almost to a point at 12 o'clock, our insurance ends, so we have to stop the fight no matter what. And it just happened that it ended. I believe it was like a knockout or something on the second round. So we got lucky on that we didn't have to stop the fight. It ended on a knockout. So
that's a day I bet you were just all day long. You were probably pulling your hair out.
Well, that was the first time I ever helped out with the show. So, and then, yeah, it's funny how I got in contact with Epic Fighting. My cousin's been fighting for them for a while. I think he's up to five fights with Epic Fighting. And on the January show of 2013, the promoter that was current, he brought a box full of flyers. I think it was about 1,200. And he told Jason Stewart, the owner, that he couldn't get rid of them, and it was about 10 o'clock, and he's like, hey, there's still like 8 hours before the show. You know, you could do something with them. And the guys are like, oh, I'm busy. So we're in the table, and he's like, hey, I'll give somebody some tickets if they'll go distribute them. And I jumped out of my seat, and the chair fell, and he looked at me like, what's going on? And I told him, are you serious? You know, are you going to give us like a $30 ticket, a $50 ticket? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, a $50 ticket for each of us? He's like, yeah. I was like, cool, it's five of us. I was like, let's go. So my cousin that fought and my other boys from Team Quest, we went. And we passed them out within like 3 hours at all the malls, put them in cars and giving them out to people. So, and from there, I just got with the company and I took over.
Hey, I you know, it's funny. I've been there. My partner in go ahead, Ray.
No, I would say Epic is known for that. I mean, you look at Heather Hyatt. She started off as a ring card girl, and now look at she's one of the best matchmakers in the state of California.
Yes.
Well, you know, it sounds like this company not only puts on great fights and great events, like the one you guys got going down on the 26th at Four Points Sheraton, but it builds from within, which is you guys have a passion for something. You know, I started to say, you know, Carl, my partner and half owner in MMA Madhouse, this is how I started. You know, I came in, I started working one thing. Next thing I know, my position grew. Next thing I know, I own 50% of the company. So I understand. It's about a passion that these people see in us.
Yes.
It's hard to find sometimes, and building within is always is always better off for a company because these people have put their blood, sweat, and tears. And you walk the parking lot in the hot sun and through the mall, and, you know, to build your way up here. So you have that, you know, I can't let this fail. I need to take that extra phone call. I need to make that extra drive, you know, because it's a passion you built from, you know, the beginning.
Yes, true. I put out a 1,000 posters every other month, and then 10,000 flyers by myself. I do it on my own, and then I'll have my kids come with me, and you know, I'll shoot them down some cash. But all the flyers and posters, I do it on my own. I go to all the businesses and I tell them if I could leave some flyers, and then they say yes, you know, can I leave you a poster? Yes. So I hit all the businesses first, and then after that I go vandalize the streets. So, but yeah, that's how it is.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of great things that, you know, you've got to enjoy being part of this. Do you ever sit back and look from the early days and say, man, you know, these guys, I would, you know, these are good friends now. You know, I can't believe that this sport has done this much for my life.
It's gotten to a point where me and Jason, I just moved in currently with him. At his house. So now we have meetings every day. We brainstorm every day for at least 2 hours, just how to, you know, how to expand the company. What can we do? What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? You know, we're asking friends we have. What's it called? Yes.
Oh, man. You done messed up now. You can't call in sick now. Bang it on your door. It's time to go to work, fool.
Nah. Well, I just detailed his Range Rover today. I just finished it, and it's all ready to be decaled with Epic Fighting. So we're doing it. I started the street team for the company as well. I'll even pull people over. I'm driving, and I'll roll down your window. Be looking at me all crazy. Be like, hey, I saw your tap out, or you know, a gym that they have, you know. And I'll tell them, hey, if you let me put the sticker, you know, you could choose a DVD, a kid ticket for free, a shirt, you know, some booty shorts, a girl shirt, whatever you want, a calendar. And most of the people always let me. So that's how I'd be pulling people over with an incentive.
Can I throw you out a suggestion? Because being a media site dealing with hundreds of regional and local promotions all over the world, press releases definitely, like, make sure that, you know, guys like us are getting the press releases, you know, but not just the press releases. Give us another release with the pay-per-view information, or send us your, you know, pre-fight interview stuff. Cause like, we own multiple sites, and one of them is a video site where we can, you know, share the videos to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. So like, not just the press releases, send us all kinds of stuff that we can get up on social media or on websites for you.
Okay. Sounds good.
I mean,
right now,
you know,
we're currently on Fox.
You know what we need to do is, when I don't have a fight on the same day that they have fights going on, I need to get down and maybe do some interviews for us.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, we get Chris Lieben, Rudy Silva, Conan from Devil's Ride. They always come to our shows, and you know, they're always cool to take pictures with the fans. So we're pretty lucky to have a lot of former UFC fighters, you know. So, like, Sakaju, too, he'll come. And a lot of people think that a lot of fighters are, you know, like, stuck up and all that, but they're very humble, you know. I used to train, too, so.
Didn't the Devil's Ride film at one of your guys' fights?
Repeat?
I said, didn't the Devil's Ride film at one of your guys' fights?
Oh, yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Conan set it up and everything, and they made us sign release papers and everything. They were filming for quite a while, for like 2-3 hours. They kept filming the guys coming, the motorcycles, and they filmed the Lambos and all that. So it was good. It was a good experience.
So,
the Laughing Devils.
I know that you guys have got 26, Epic Fighting 26 locked down. What are we going to see maybe by the end of the year and the 2015? What do you guys have on tap?
For November, I forgot the date, but we have the Fallen Firemen, the FF. So we have a tribute going to the firefighters for our show, and we've already have a lot of firefighters that are going to be having like semi fights as well, and we have a lot of seating reserved for them. That's our big ending show for the year.
Yes. No, we're still here. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
that's great. You know, Tell us a little bit more about that, that show for the firefighters.
My boss set it up. I just know that it's the firemen that were working on that. They already agreed that we could take flyers and posters to them, but that's all I know. They're my boss is working on that, doing something big, so yeah. And then we also have like Battle for the Troops every year at the Rock Church. So
nice.
Well, you know, I definitely you know, the next event's so close, but on the November card, let's try to book a couple of the fighters on the show if you can help us get that done.
Yeah, for sure. I know Bruce Smith is down from Victory, Devin Taylor from Arena. They're always up for everything. I take them out, and they'll be signing the flyers and the posters that they come out in. So those are my boys right there.
Yeah, definitely going to get them on.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
Well, you know, before we wrap up with you, man, why don't you take some time, man, any ticket information, websites, social media, anything that you want to get out, anybody you want to thank, this is your time. Take it.
First of all, I'd like to thank all the fans that are tuning in right now, listening to us. Jason Stewart, great promoter, owner, everything. And for starting Epic Fighting, without him, we wouldn't be here. We got our show on September 26th, Friday. Doors open at 6. Show starts about 7 o'clock. You can use promo code Tony at epicfighting.com and, you know, purchase your ticket for a discount. And that's about it. Everybody else that works with us, Carlos, Harvey, Heather, everybody that makes the company run as well.
Well,
and thank you guys for having us.
Oh, man. No, I thank you for doing this, you know, and we want to start definitely between the show and MMAMadhouse.com. I want to start working with your company a lot more to help get more exposure, you know, and get your name out there to a bigger, broader audience.
Sounds good.
Well, go enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening, and thank you once again.
All right. Have a great
night.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
You too. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Everybody, you guys, get out there. Epic Fighting. If you're in the SoCal area, make a day of it. Go out, have some fun, support some local MMA.
Holy shit! I'm just thinking McNuggets in my hand. I don't want
to
hear it.
10:30 a.m. We don't serve chicken McNuggets at this time.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Why not?
Because we don't.
You what? Crap! The morning just fucking hissing you.
Hey, just give me that out of the car. What's going on over there?
Don't you fucking run away from me, you family boy.
Yeah.
I
oh, shit.
I'm not. Don't make me into my ultimate form. I will fuck you up. Wait, I'm going to go there and I'm going to wreck you.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm going to try to smoke you.
You're looking for me. Ma'am. Whoa.
Who I am?
Ma'am.
What?
What's that shit?
No!
Oh my God! The fuck is this bitch on? Holy shit!
What's going on? Is she like getting burned by her apple pie or something?
Dude, I have no idea. All right, we need to call the police. This is out of control. Whoa! Holy shit!
Cage in the Cage Radio, Monday nights. Here we go.
All right, D, we've already got our next interview in queue.
Oh, no.
Opponent to Marcus Freeman. Back-to-back interviews. Here's the man, Dustin Freeman. Welcome to the show, Dustin.
What's up?
Hey, how are you?
Hello, D. Timber. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So glad you could make it on the show tonight.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it.
Well, we are so excited, Dustin. I've gotten to know you as well just over the past few months, and you're just a fun, energetic guy. You've got so many contacts. I mean, you've got more jobs than anybody I know. Well, aside from our owner, Mike Crawford, he's got about four going on.
Yeah.
But you're a busy guy, and fitting in the time to fight, even though that is your passion, we're so appreciative that you're fighting on a Rage in the Cage card, and so honored to have you. So welcome to Rage in the Cage 31. How are you feeling as far as your training and all?
I'm doing good. I just got off work. I'm pumped to be on the radio, though. Don't thank me. Thank ADHD for all the jobs and all the time I have. That keeps me busy. I wasn't actually planning to fight on this fight. I was just scheduling fights for my guys, and Larry hit me up, and he needed somebody for y'all's show, and I loved the show the last go around y'all had. I've never even fought for Rage, and it was such a good show last time, and I was already have two guys fighting on it, so I was like, well, I guess I'll take it.
Might as well.
well, you've had a lot of fights. Yeah.
Sorry?
Say that again,
Dee. Kind of talked at the same time.
Oh, she said, we're blessed you said yes, and we are, because you've had a lot of fights. You know, you get around not only in your business aspect of life, but even in your fights. Like, you fought for a lot of different promotions, so we are excited to have you on Rage in the Cage 31. So we are blessed that you said yes on that.
Oh, I'm excited about it. This is the first time I've ever got to fight in an Oklahoma City area, and, you know, this is where I'm from. I've lived in Texas, and I've lived in Arkansas for years, and I've fought all around there, and I've fought all over Oklahoma, but I've never been in Oklahoma City area.
Wow, that is so hard to believe. This is a hometown crowd, so hopefully you'll have a big, you know, I would say a room full, but this is an outdoor under the pavilion, so hopefully you'll have an audience full of Dustin Freeman fans. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that, being the hometown boy.
I can assure you there will be quite a few of my fans there.
Well,
you're going for that $200 bonus, eh?
Yeah. There'll probably be some people there from Blanchard, but I mean, my people are all over Oklahoma City and the surrounding areas. I've hopped around so much, and I've had jobs everywhere, and I don't know a stranger. I got to meet people everywhere I go.
There you go.
When was the last time you were in the cage?
May, I believe, 17th for Battleground. It was in Enid. That was against Hector Ortega.
Okay. The fight we were just talking about. What do you think your strengths are going into this fight?
Well, I mean, I know, and like my training partners and stuff know, I'm better on the ground. But my passion, stand up. I love to swing. I don't care if you punch me. I don't care if I break my hands on your face. I'm gonna try. That's my goal. If I can leave with lumpy shins and broken hands, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Or
what's your fight
torn up
style,
bicep,
man?
Like,
and tell me. Yeah, torn bicep like me, Dustin.
Fighting style, I'd say smash mouth MMA would be my fighting style. I'm going to ram my face in your face as hard as I can without making out.
Cool. That sounds hot.
Making out would just
be
a bonus.
That should get you a bonus, yeah. Hey, and tell me a little bit about your camp. I know you've settled down and you're training with some pretty good guys right now. Marcus, your opponent, he's training with Hector. I don't know how you feel about what he could learn from that, and how are you feeling with the guys you're training with? Give us a little detail.
Well, with the management thing, with Hell Fight Management Company that I've been working with for about a month now, I get to go see all the teams. So I kind of just slide in where I fit in, and, hey, let me just train with you today.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a lot of my training is just kind of mixed up abroad. Ken and Mike Jackson and Brandon Shelton have got a little thing going in Norman. I hadn't really got too much hands-on with Brandon, but that is going to be coming all week I'm sure. And Mike and Ken obviously are a couple animals. Being 200-pound black belts, it really helps me get ready for a 135.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I train with everybody. I have no, you know, no pride issues. I mean, if you're a newbie or if you're a 30-year-old with a black belt, I don't care.
There you go. Hey, what are you talking about old? What do you say, over 30 is old or what?
No, I mean 30 years of experience. That's what I meant.
Over 30-year-old fighter.
Yo, those fighters over 30, you know. I don't care.
That is old for a fighter.
Hey, Dustin, I know it is, man. I know.
You start ripping biceps.
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Hey, I don't know who's the sexiest fighter, you or Lamont, but I'm going to have a poll put on it somewhere. You know, we'll find out who's the sexiest Oklahoma fighter, but... But,
it's got to be me. I mean, in Oklahoma, it's got to be me.
Well,
Lamont's too tall.
He
looks like he should be
ground.
A basketball player.
Yeah, I know, huh? He's tough. Hey, Dustin, but back on the fight. You know, you said you like it on the ground or you're better on the ground. You might not like it on the ground. But, you know, and Marcus is a wrestler, BJJ guy. So is it fair to say this could go to the ground? I mean, even though you might want to stand up, this fight could go to the ground pretty quick.
I've been sharpening my elbows and knees.
Okay, good.
If it goes to the ground, I've got some pretty good ground guys been wearing me out pretty hard, so I'm really not too worried about the ground. Ground's where I feel like I can rest. Stand-up is where I always like to be. I mean, I work a lot of getting back to my feet, so, I mean, yeah, if it goes to the ground, it goes to the ground. He's going to regret it, and I'll get back up.
There you go. There you go.
Always,
I mean,
good going
in positive.
Do you
have a
fight name? Yeah, I do have a fight name. I've had a a fight name?
Yeah, you have a fight nickname, you know, like I can call you?
Wild Child. Imagine that.
Wild Child. Oh,
that fits you really well.
That fits you. That fits you. Wild
I couldn't
child.
Be more perfect.
You got to say it like that, though. You got to say it like that.
Wild Child. Wild Child.
Let's see if we can get Shane McCabe to say it just like that when he's announcing the fight.
I'll announce it myself if he wants me to.
Yeah, right.
This sounds
awesome,
great,
man. I think this is gonna be a good match, Dustin. And yeah, I'm super amped to watch you go to work. You know, I'm gonna be off for a minute, so it'd be nice to watch you go do your work. You know, do what you do. So I'm excited.
I'm really excited about this one too. The last I had a really bad cut go down. I got a new job, and they didn't let me off for weigh-ins. They didn't even let me off for fight day. I had to leave work at noon and drive 3 hours to Enid, cutting to 135, and then I barely got to rehydrate. I just felt like crap. I mean, I don't know how it would have turned out, if it would have turned out any different or not, but I just felt horrible. And I'm really excited that everything's going to be prepared right this time, and I get to break my hands on his face. I mean, I don't have some harm against him, but God, I'm going
to
try.
And you get to fight here for a hometown crowd, but a lot of positives and good things on your side as far as that. So excited for you. What is your ultimate goal as far as mixed martial arts?
I think I'm using this as a platform just to kind of project myself onto other things. Like, I mean, everybody needs something to be noticed for at the beginning. And, you know, I mean, this is kind of giving me something – to show the world that I try and I put my heart into things, and it's brought me a lot of other things to the other than MMA, you know. I mean, it's brought me into the Hell Fight Management Company, which is nationwide right now. We have just a boot of pros that you wouldn't even believe. And along with that, I mean, I've gotten into music promoting and helping out local musicians and models and clubs. And, I mean, everybody's starting to recognize me a little bit, so it's helping out all around. I don't plan on being no Randy Couture and fighting when I'm 40. But, I mean, it's just it's part of my therapy, is like what Dee was saying. It's just part of my therapy, and it's fun.
Amen.
Well, that's definitely
what
I hear from so many fighters, is that MMA is definite therapy for you guys. So glad you found it, and so glad you found Rage in the Cage and fighting for us here with your local crowd. And what do you feel are your as far as your strengths in the cage and, you know, your strengths as far as your professional career, not just as far as fighting, but everything that you do? You work with the musicians.
I would definitely say my people skills are top-notch besides the cage. I mean, I can talk to a 7-year-old kid and make him happy, or a 90-year-old woman, and she can smile all day. I can, you know, gift the gab. I can deal with any people and make them happy, even if they're in a bad mood. Or even if I'm in a bad mood, I can still make you laugh. That's just
You have a brilliant personality. You have a brilliant personality.
It works.
Might be
being around, being all around.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've met so many people, you just kind of got to adapt to all the different types of people you meet, or just, you know, be that jerk that everybody points out, that MMA guy.
Yeah.
I hate that stereotype.
There's that guy that,
just a cage fighter.
There's that guy that fights.
Yeah.
That's part of the overcome of fight life, though. You know, it's something that sometimes we have to deal with, you know. At different places we travel, with being an open professional fighter, sometimes you get the stigma, you know. It's easy to happen.
Yeah, and a lot of times I'm grinning from ear to ear, so they're kind of confused, like, oh, is he really a fighter? He's just smiling.
Well, Dustin, before we move on, you've got the floor as far as any shout-outs that you want to put out there tonight, any thank yous to sponsors.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to thank Hell Fight Management Company. They have we had three guys on the card, me, Mike Jackson, and Jeremy Robinson. I know we're down to Jeremy and me. I don't know how the mic thing's turning out right now, but I want to thank them for everything they've done. They've helped out a lot. They project me all over the nation, and they've brought so many fighters for me to meet and train with. And then Baca, Bikers Against Child Abuse, my family's all in that, and they support me, and there'll be a lot of them will be at the fight, so... Don't be scared. They're cool bikers. And then all my musicians out there, all the music guys. You got everybody. Give everybody a chance in the music industry. There's so many more music people than there is fighters, but we don't ever see them because we don't give them a shot. We just want to hear what's on the radio or on MTV. I'm just trying to let Oklahoma know that there's other stuff that we're doing that's being left under the table that could bring more money, revenue, and entertainment to Oklahoma every day, and nobody even notices it.
Very true, awesome. Very true. I know that I got to meet one of the musicians, Dofresh, I believe his name was, at the last
Marcus
event.
Yeah, Marcus Dofresh.
So, yes. So very excited to meet him. And
once you meet a lot of these guys, they're just normal guys. I mean, I know in videos and stuff they might be projected a little different, or in society the projector is kind of rough and thug life. That was back in the 90s. That's old school stuff. They're all cool now. They're all just like us.
Yeah. Oh, they're all old.
Yeah.
I love you.
They adapt like we adapt.
Yeah.
I love you too. Okay, I guess.
Back in the 90s. You're great, dude.
Well,
that's
Kimber,
I really love everything you're doing.
What's D wearing tonight?
Don't tell him, Kimber.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
Let him.
I'm staying away from y'all's little love affair. I'm out of that.
Something about picking on the biggest guy I know. I just got a problem with that.
Yeah, right. I know. That's that Blanchard. He's from Blanchard,
Oklahoma.
That's all it is, he's a big town. He's a big city guy from a small country town.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
I
grew up right down the road. I grew up in Tuttle, Oklahoma. So just. Right
by the way,
the
we
moved
y'all Friday night in high school football, if you didn't notice that.
Oh, man, that's horrible. What has the world come to? Oh, no. What is the world coming to?
Well, thank y'all for having me on. I'll let y'all get to the next guy. I'm sure he's waiting.
Well, thank you. We are so appreciative of you coming on. So excited for your career, not just, of course, when it comes to MMA, but you are just a guy that, you've got a lot going for you. So congratulations on that, and look forward to seeing what's ahead in your future.
Why are you putting people through this? Why? Why are you putting us through this? Who gave you the right? Who gave you the right? By what right do you exclude the population? Why? Who are you? How dare you do this to us? We are the Toronto public. We want to shop. We want to get into the Eaton Center. It is a public place. It says it's open till 7 o'clock. Why are you closed? Why? Why? Tell us why. Tell us why.
It's just a spectacle to you. It's just a spectacle to you. It's just funny. Let the police cut off my balls. I don't mind because it's the cops and they're always right. Right? You want to go shopping?
Mm.
You don't give a shit, do you?
Not really.
Not really. Then why don't you go fuck off with your camera and stop? Stop film. I'm saying I'm not giving you permission to film me.
But
all right?
You're in a
you don't have
place.
Permission. Huh?
But you're in a public...
No, no, it's closed. It's
no,
closed.
This is actually a privately held...
Oh, really? You're going to explain it to me? Well, tell me why they're closed.
I don't know. Cadillac Fairview doesn't want you in.
Oh, Cadillac Fairview doesn't want me in? That's why they closed the whole place?
Well, apparently.
Are you nuts? Are you crazy? I just walked over here, for Christ's sake.
But I think we've got our next guest with us, everybody. We kind of had a little intro with it there with Rosa, and I believe I've got her on the line right now. Stephanie Skinner, is this you? Or is this Carl?
Carl.
Hey, guy. Wrong person. Is this Stephanie Skinner?
Yes, this is Stephanie Skinner.
Why, good afternoon, or evening, I guess it would be now. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Just kind of trying to stay awake.
Uh-oh, we'll make this quick for you. Do you want to give everybody a quick rundown who you are, where you're training out of real quick?
My name is Stephanie Skinner. I train out of 303 Gretsch Training Center in Denver, Colorado.
Now, you have a big fight coming up, one you've been waiting on for about a year and a half, Angelica Chavez. How excited are you, Stephanie?
Oh, man, I get goosebumps just thinking about it because the girl has backed out two times, and I just hope it doesn't happen a third time as well.
Dude, that would be absolutely – I think when fighters start doing that, there needs to come a point where people are just like, look, we're done with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Have I not had so much pent-up anger or annoyance from the girl, I would turn the fight down, but I kind of just really want to get in the cage with her.
I bet. Now, you train up at 303. One of your training partners, you and you were just out at Invicta this weekend. How much does that help even jack you more up going into your fight knowing, man, heck yeah, we're on a roll right now. JJ just did work. I'm going to go do some work.
Man, it makes me feel good. I helped JJ in camp and was there as much as could be for sparring and daily training. And, JJ's done the same for me. Just coming off her momentum, I want to keep riding her momentum into my momentum.
Now, are you liking Colorado more than Wyoming, or are you spending more time still in Wyoming?
No, I live in Colorado full time. I don't think I'd ever move back to Wyoming. I barely visit as is.
Are you like, Mom, why don't you come to Colorado?
Exactly. And my family doesn't visit near enough, and they're like, well, why don't you just come back to Wyoming? And I'm just like, you just don't understand.
You're like, Mom, I really can't be that long without punching people in the face. And if I'm like, that's what I would like tell my family. I'd be like, if I'm around you guys for too long, I'm going to need to punch people in the face.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, how has this camp been for you?
It's been pretty good. It's been nice because when I started my camp, I had other training partners that were just finishing up their camps. So I had been working with them for their upcoming fights. And then JJ went right into camp. So it's been a good fight camp because I've been helping everybody else get ready as well as getting myself ready. So I'm just ready.
Is this going to be the best Stephanie Skinner that we've seen yet?
I think it is. There's a lot of eyes on this fight. I work better when I'm under pressure, and I'm just ready to go out and perform.
We just need Angelica to do her part.
Yeah,
show up.
Yep, just don't back out. That's all I ask.
Have you ever thought about leading up into this fight? You're like, maybe I should find a backup and just send their name to the promoter just so I can at least get a fight.
Man, the way the promoters are kind of treating it, they think I'm going to end up being the one that backs out because they keep, they're messaging me, hey, you doing okay? Hey, you still fighting? Hey, how's everything going? And I just want to be like, maybe you should be asking her, I'm perfectly fine. I'm ready to get this done. I'm ready to bang it out. Knowing her track record, I think you should be hounding her a little bit.
Yeah, I would totally agree. You and especially to do it on the level of XFC, that's a fantastic promotion to be able to fight for, and to do that is just kind of dumbfounds me.
Right, and to do it, not only one time, but two times, and the second time being, less than 24 hours from weigh-ins, that would kind of baffles me a little bit.
Now, when I look at your list of opponents, it's like a who's who of badasses. Do you find that people maybe underestimate you by looking at your record?
Yeah, I think people always look at the record first and you look at the numbers, and I'm not afraid to admit that my record's 2-5. However, since moving and training in Colorado, I've gone 2-2. One of those wins, I feel the ref missed a tap out, and my bad for not choking the girl till she died, but lesson learned. Most people don't know that I started off 0-3 because I was training in a garage in Wyoming with some kids who thought they knew what they were doing, and you know, I did my sentencing. I lost 3 fights in a row, but I also took 2 years off to fully train to become the level of professional fighter I needed to be, and I've been improving ever since. I mean, I trained with J.J. Aldridge, who fights for Invicta, Kathy Robb, who fights for Invicta, Rose Namajunas, who fights for the UFC and is on this season of the Ultimate Fighter, so you have to know that I'm giving those people that level of competition.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, and I mean, when you look at the list, I mean, I don't even go that far down. Angela Hill, tough competitor right now. Ferocious stand-up. Most girls are out of there. She puts them away in, like, the first minute. You made it to almost the 7-minute mark. I mean, you know, a lot of people wouldn't think anything about that, but that's a fantastic performance with a girl like Angela. She's very, very athletic and very explosive.
And coming off nearly 2 years off as well. You know, I'm not going to fault myself in that fight. You know, I did have ring rust, but I held my own for the time I was in there.
Now, what was it like fighting in Wyoming? Is that the one where the girl tapped and then said she didn't?
Yeah, so in that fight, the ref is actually standing right over us when the girl taps on my chest, and they didn't have it on official footage, but someone in the crowd actually caught it. However, Wyoming didn't have a commission at the time, and it was outside footage, so it's not an acceptable form to prove my case, apparently.
You'd think like, hey, any kind of videotape should be used to prove the case if it proves the case.
That's exactly what I think, but they're like, well, you know, cell phones weren't supposed to be recording, and it's not the official fight footage, and I was like, okay, whatever, you know. In my heart, I know I won. It was actually Darla Harris, you know, and there are people that saw it. My coaches saw it. I felt the tap, and, you know, first time as a pro that I had tapped somebody out, so I let it go. And like I said, it's a lesson learned. Next time I'll kill somebody or break an arm, you know, whatever I got to do.
I like it.
You're like, fool
she's
me
like,
once,
she
shame
can't.
On me. Fool me twice, yeah. Ain't happening, sucker.
Absolutely.
You're going to hand a twitching arm to the ref. See, it's tapping.
See, I'll be like, what more do you want? Here's her arm.
Now, you know, I moving to Colorado and growing in your experience, what do you think's been the most pivotal point or pivotal part of this transition for you?
You know, I think just getting constantly beat up for, like, the first year, you know, being repeatedly tapped out, choked out, knocked down, tripped, taken down, punched, you know, you got to learn to adapt. And I feel that, you know, just having that continual pressure that I did in the first camp that I was with when I came here is what, you know, has truly molded me into the fighter that I am. You know, I trained with Diana Rael, who everyone knows just, you know, went to the tough tryouts, who's been a ranked atom weight, who, you know, rumor has it may be on the waiting list for the UFC after her tryout performance. So I trained with someone like that for nearly 4 years and constantly pressured and, like, you know, basically bullied to the point that I had to become a good fighter. And, you know, I'll contribute, you know, everything to that camp that they made me who I am. So, you know, kudos to them. I just evolved and adapted.
Now, obviously, you know, you face some tough young ladies. You're looking to the future. Is there anything on tap here in the next couple months that we should be looking forward to?
You know, I do have a fight coming up with Angelica. The XFC, you know, has just the U.S. president has stepped down, and now it's being taken over by the international who, you know, they say they'll speak with me about my future. They look forward to talking to me. They know who I am. So that, to me, is a good sign that, you know, the president who's taking over knows my name and wants to speak with me in regards to what we'll do next. You know, whether I fight down in Brazil for the XFC or on a U.S. card, I don't know yet. But, you know, I'd like to stay busy, and I'd like to, you know, get on a win streak so that, you know, more and more people are drawn to my name.
I like it. I think, obviously, if you can get a shot to go down there to Brazil and fight maybe in this year's tournament that they got, you know, that would be great. I think the exposure for you down there, the talent level, I think it's great. But, you know, if you could find something close to home where family and friends can definitely get there to support you, it would probably be just as good.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple local promoters that want to put me on the show. The problem is just, you know, finding – you know, a 105er, a 115er who's not, you know, super big because, you know, all those 105ers decided to jump ship with the UFC opening up the strawweight division.
But that gives you a lot of room to make some, you know, moves and names for yourself. like you said, you know, there's a big opening there. I know a lot of people thought it was the end of that division if you weren't in the big show. But for you, it had to be somewhat exciting to say, okay, look, that group moved up. That's a whole new opening for prospects like myself.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. You know, it is a whole new talent pool that I could be fighting in. Or should I make the change and then jump to 115? I feel like I can compete against the majority of those girls. As I said, you know, I fight with Rose and JJ, and they're both 115ers, and, you know, we push each other on a daily basis. So, you know, whatever talent pool the competition comes from, I'm game and down for it.
I like it.
Now, Stephanie, how tall are you?
5'2¾".
I love
how
your
tall. Now, how does that make the fighting at 115 more difficult than the weight? Is maybe the height discrepancy?
You know, I don't really think so. My reach is longer than my height by like 1.5 inches, and I work well. I have really good head movement and movement to get inside, so I'm not too worried about it. And if someone likes to fight from the outside, you know, I got some fast and sneaky kicks that are coming their way. You know, and like Rose has like the longest reach of anybody that I spar, but I still find ways to hit her, you know, as many times as she hits me. So I'm not really too worried about that, unless I had to fight somebody like Stephanie Agink, who's 5'9" and monkey arms and all that. But I'm not really too worried about it. And there are some pretty short 115ers. You know, like my JJ just fought that girl, Delaney Owen, who's like 5'1". 4'11", 5'12", 5', whatever it is, you know. She's a short 115, and they are out there.
No, that is true. They are. I think that I like you at 105, man. I think there's some really cool fights out there for you.
Yeah, you know, and ideally I would love to stay at 105 if they can keep me busy and keep them coming. But I guess we'll see what they line me up with.
Now, what got you into the fight game?
I come from a very small, conservative town, and my lifestyle may not be the most acceptable. I am an openly gay fighter. I do have a partner that I blast all over Facebook and Twitter, and where I come from, that's not really the thing to do or the person to be, so a lot of people spoke their minds, tried to jump me, and when the fights came to town and I saw a girl fight on it, I told the promoter, hey, I want to try this. I stepped in the ring and beat a girl who was 5'9", 141 pounds, and from then on out, I loved every minute of it.
What did you weigh in for that fight?
About 118 with my clothes on.
You're like, I got some quarters in my pocket, I got a sandwich in my back pocket, I'm ready to weigh in.
Well, no, I should put some rocks in my shoes or something.
Heck yeah, I'm surprised they let that fight go down.
Well, you know, good old Wyoming, again, at that time, that was back in 2009, and they didn't have a commission. Anyone who had fought when I was an AMI in Wyoming was always over 135 pounds, so I fought bigger girls for a long time.
Now, do you and your partner sometimes settle your arguments with a good sparring session?
You know, if we've had a day where we're bickering or anything like that, when we get to practice and it is a sparring day, or, you know, it's a day where we get to lay a little punches on each other, we're not afraid to lay some leather, because as much as it, you know, helps us with training, whether she admits it or not, I know it's a stress reliever in a way just to get out your frustrations with each other as well. Not like a domestic violence type thing, but, you know, good old-fashioned sparring.
You're like, it's at practice, so it's just sparring, yeah?
Yep, that's the only way you can look at it.
That's freaking awesome.
Get the, if she hits me hard, I get that look like, did you really just hit me that hard? So I got to hit her that hard. And it's comical in itself, but, you know, it's good for one another as we push each other as fighters.
Now, where do you get most of your artwork at? Skippy's a big artwork fan himself.
Oh, yeah.
His claim to fame, Stephanie, just so you know, is that he thought it was a bright idea one night when he was apparently intoxicated to get his eyebrows shaved off and have Hot Wheels stripes painted across in place of his eyebrows.
Yep.
That's great.
They're not the stripes. They're the original Hot Wheel Flames before in 93 when they got rid of the ball and went to a slanted 45 to start the flame. I did. I shaved off my eyebrows and I tattooed the original Hot Wheel Flames there instead. But I also have... I also got one of the coolest sponsor tattoos ever. I got Clinch Custom Mouth Guards logo all the way down, 16 inches by 10 inches on my ribs.
Hey, man, I'm not going to hate. I love tattoos, and whether you tattoo your face or you tattoo your ass, I'm a fan of tattoos either way. Most of mine have come from a gentleman. His name's Kevin Powers. He's out of Louisville, Colorado, at Inksmith Tattoo, and then another gentleman, my chest pieces are from a gentleman who his name's Michael Flores, and he's in Loveland, Colorado. So I've had two main artists do some artwork on me, fixing to get some more because I just feel like you can never have enough.
Now, your ribs, how did you like those? Because I sat down for 6.5 hours, and I was pretty tore up.
You know, only a couple of mine actually hit my ribs. I don't think I could ever stand a full rib piece because I don't know how I'm going to feel because the ones that were on my ribs, I was squirming and gritting my teeth and wanting to bite down on a stick or something. Cassie actually has two full rib cage pieces, and she's like, I cried during both of them. So I don't know that I need that much pain inflicted, so that might be a while before I ever get those tatted.
Do you and Cassie, maybe like right now you're sitting at home at night, do you guys watch film of each other's upcoming opponents and break it down together?
You know, when I was offered the fight for Angelica the first time for the XFC, Cassie was offered it as well, but she was already under contract with Invicta, was already told when she was going to be fighting next. So I ended up being the one to take the offer with Angelica. But at that time, you know, we had both watched the film that was available. We had watched Diana fight her over at our coach's house, so we had a better idea. Anything that we can do to help one another, whether it be mimicking who we're going to fight, whether it be just watching a little bit of film so that we can tell them, hey, you know, this tendency is going to be bad when it comes to this fighter, try this instead of that. We're really supportive of each other in that aspect.
And then you get to help make each other better during sparring.
Yep,
like,
actually, yeah.
You're like, I punched you that hard because I want you to be better in your next fight.
Yeah,
I don't
mean,
do
I
this
to
hurt your feelings.
I want you to have that threshold for pain tolerance.
That is awesome. Well, hey, Stephanie, I know that you know it's late and you mentioned that you were tired. Do you want to give a shout-out to all your sponsors real quick? Let everybody know where they can find you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, for Farmers Only or anything like that.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I'd first just like to thank all my teammates, coaches at 303 and Grudge, Mike Gonzalez, Justin Salas, Keith Meltzer, Tony Basile, my training partners, just my main ones, Cassie Robb, JJ Aldridge, Brittany Audrey, everyone who's in there on a daily basis, Rose, when she's around and not being a superstar. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Clinch Mouth Guard, Natural Grade Nutrition, Sick Chick Fightwear, Dudley Robinson, No Mercy MMA, and I'd like to thank, you know, Jason Adams, who stands in as my manager, not officially yet, but, you know, here coming shortly, we'll square it away and make it official. And then, you know, I'd just like to thank you guys for having me on the show.
No, we really appreciate you taking the time. Hey, now, which of your training partners is the trickiest for you in sparring?
I think JJ, just because she's a southpaw, and, you know, whether I spar her from conventional or spar her from southpaw, she's so quick and so technical that, you know, she's still going to sneak those shots in that coming until they actually hit me, and then I know they came.
Nice. Now, do you have any young amateur female fighters coming up that we should know about?
You know, I got a girl named Audrey Perkins. She had just fought recently on a card down here in Colorado. Had a unanimous decision win, but, you know, she's really good on the ground. Her striking gets better every day with sparring with us. So, you know, give her time, and she's going to be another force to be reckoned with in the 115-pound division.
That'll be awesome, man. Stephanie, thank you so much for taking the time out to join us tonight. I hope you have a great rest of your camp, and we'll be tuning in to watch you and Angelica throw down, and you get your hand raised.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Have a good night.
Hey, we will. Go get some rest.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody, that was Stephanie the Scrapper Skinner.
Yo, what's going on, guys? It's Jack Jones here. I'm out today in Canterbury, and what I'm doing today is going up to people and asking if they want to see my D. But I'm not talking about my dick. I'm talking about the letter D. So enjoy and subscribe.
Come on, girls. You from Rounder at all?
Yeah, no, I'm not fan, from around here at all. I'm just down here today and I was just wondering, you two are quite good looking. Do you want the D at all? Do you want the D? The D?
Who the fuck do you think you are? Come on, lesbian.
Yeah, that's alright. Can I have threesome?
Go on, fuck off.
Yo, what's going on, boys? You boys from around here at all?
Yeah, what's up?
I was just wondering, do you want to see my D at all?
What do you mean, the D?
You want to see my D?
Fucking joking,
you know
what?
No, I'm not joking, I'm serious, bro.
You want me to fucking...
What?
What do you mean you want to see your fucking teeth?
What?
So come round this corner, we'll have it out.
Why do you want to go round the corner for?
Knock you out, you fucking teeth.
You're going to knock me out?
Yeah.
What? What? What?
What are you fucking saying?
Mate, it's just a prank, bro. It's just a letter D, bro.
I don't give a fuck, bro.
Mate, it's a letter D, bro. Mate, it's a letter D. Yo, what's going on, brother? What's going on? You from Rounder at all?
From Rounder?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was just wondering, do you want to see my D?
Your D?
Yeah, my D.
What's your D?
My D.
What?
Huh?
What's a fucking D?
My D.
It's your D. You mean your dick?
Do you want to see my D?
Fuck off, man.
What? Why are you getting so aggressive for?
Do you want to fucking see my dick?
Yeah, what?
I mean, I'm saying I'm a fucking fag, mate.
No, I'm saying, do you want to see my D?
Fuck off. Fuck off, you see my fist.
What?
You see my fucking fist.
See your fist?
You see my fist. I don't want to see your dick. You want to see my fist?
Why are you getting so aggressive for, bro?
Because I'm having a fucking fag here, mate.
Yeah.
You're having a fag here. You ask me if I want to see your fucking dick.
Yeah.
I don't want to see your dick. Don't look like a fucking gay man.
No, I said D.
No, we did. What's D mean then? What's D for fucking slang then?
It's D, look. The letter D.
Ah, I'm sorry, mate.
You're getting all nuts, man.
Sorry, man.
You're getting worse. Oh,
sorry, man. I thought you meant, like, you being rude to me.
No. I'm, it's a letter D. I'm just trying to give it out. Yo, what's going on, mate? Is this your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering. She just wanted to see my D.
What D?
My D.
You what?
She just wanted to see my D.
Your fucking D?
Yeah. What? She want to see my D.
What the fuck are you talking about, yeah?
It's all about my D.
No.
Huh?
The only D she sees is this one. There is no other D in this world apart from this one.
Can't I show it to her?
No.
Why not?
No, huh? There is no D, right, apart from mine.
Why can't I show her mine?
Tell you what, Philip, let's both show her.
Go on then, you ready?
Get yours out first.
Huh?
Get yours out first.
Now you get yours out first.
No, get your D on there.
What?
Let's see your D on there.
Why don't you put your D on there first, and I'll put mine on there after.
Get your D on there first.
Huh?
Come on, let's see it.
Yeah?
Well, you came over here.
Yeah.
Get your D out.
Go away, please.
Can I go away? Yeah.
Get
Why?
Your D out now.
You want me to get my D out?
Get your D out now.
Yes? Let's do this. There you go, mate. It's my D. Yo, what's going on, bro? What's going on? You from Rounder at all?
Yeah. Yeah,
I was just wondering, do you want to see my D?
See you what?
Do you want to see my D?
Your D? What are you on about, your D?
Do you want to see my D?
I don't want to see your fucking D. What are you on about?
What?
What are you trying to fucking say? Are you trying to mug me off or something?
I'm not trying to mug you off, mate.
What are you fucking saying then?
I'm just wondering, do you want to see my D? That's
your
it.
Your fucking D? Yeah, well, what are you on about, your fucking D?
My D?
D? Your fucking D?
Hey, what are you doing, bro? Mate, it's a joke,
what?
Mate. It's a fucking
what?
Joke.
What?
It's a joke, mate. It's a letter D, bro. It's a letter D. That's all
what
it is.
The fuck was your
mate, it's a fucking letter D. Mate, it's a letter D, bro.
Job TV, the best prank player ever seen. Oh, Job TV, best prank player ever seen. Oh, yeah.
Well, actually, we do have Daniel Kay on the line, so we're going to bring him in. Daniel, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're happy to have you. Man, you guys have a huge fight card coming up this weekend. I'm disappointed that Matthew couldn't be here to talk about it with you, because I know he was pumped about it. But three title fights, am I correct?
Yeah, we have three title fights. It was actually scheduled to be four title fights, but one of them fell apart earlier this week. But we have three title fights lined up. We have a total of 13 fights on the card, and it's really going to be an action-packed night.
Yeah, I mean, not many promotions anywhere in the world can say they have four title fights lined up, one falls off, oh, well, we still have three to go, so the fans are still going to be completely pumped. How did that go about, putting that many title fights into one fight card?
You know, it's really about looking for the right kind of fighters. A lot of promotions out there, they're just looking for top ticket sellers. And at XFN, we're not looking for that. We're really looking for the fighters that prove themselves to behave professionally. We look for fighters throughout their career. They show up on time to weigh-ins. They show up on weight. They perform, and they perform well, and they're durable fighters. That's what we're looking for. And I can honestly say that every single fighter that's fighting for a title on Saturday night has proven themselves to be durable fighters who go out there, leave it all in the cage, and they don't let anything distract them, nothing at all. So we're really happy with the fights that we have set up.
Now, you guys still have the featured non-title welterweight rematch, correct, with Jason Roberts and Hector Trinidad Jr.?
Yeah, that's really what everybody's been talking about aside from the title fight. Of course, everybody's excited about the titles, but these guys, they put on a war back in January at the XFN 2 event. It was in Miami, Florida, and what had happened was in the first round, Hector Trinidad came out with some really, really heavy blows and landed some really clean shots to Jason Roberts and dropped him in the first round, dropped him really good. And according to the Florida State rules, at that point, the referee had to step in and stop the action, allow Jason Roberts to stand up, and gave him an eight-second count so that he can, you know, regain his feet from underneath him. And later on in the fight, in the third round, Jason Roberts was actually able to slip in a very, very slick rear naked choke and put Hector Trinidad to sleep. He didn't even get a chance to tap. So this is the fight everybody's been talking about. We're really curious as to what's going to happen this time.
It sounds like it. That definitely, that first fight, I'm not sure we, up here in Ohio, we have a little bit different rules than that, but that's very interesting. It definitely warrants a rematch, and I think it's smart for you guys to put this on your fight card. So let me get this straight. Three title fights, this rematch that everybody's pumped about. I mean, man, what else can you provide for this fight card? It sounds like you already have a complete one with just four fights.
But yeah, I mean, those four fights are definitely worth the price of admission in themselves. But we do have a great undercard. We're also featuring three Muay Thai fights, and I really like to feature Muay Thai fights because, man, everybody loves knockouts. Everybody loves to see guys stand and bang, and the talent that we're bringing to XFN 3 is more than just guys throwing blows. I mean, these guys are technical strikers. They go out there, everything is calculated, every strike is calculated, their movements are beautiful, and the knockouts are the best part of it, really. We have everything from flyweight fighting all the way up to 205 pounds. Man, I mean, I can just go on and on.
Hey, can I jump in? Sorry, Spencer. I want to jump in on something he just talked about. As somebody who's seen hundreds and hundreds of events in his life, you touched on something I think is sadly overlooked in today's regional promotions, and that is you're looking for the best fight possible, not the best ticket seller. I would like you to step back maybe a little bit and talk to the audience and the fans listening tonight about why you guys decided to go that direction versus ticket seller direction.
Well, I mean, if you ask me, what's more important at an event than the quality of the fights themselves? You can have two of the most popular people in the world, and you can put them in a cage. And if neither one of them is a talented fighter, who's going to want to actually sit there and watch them fight? I mean, if you got two guys that are just going to be, you know, throwing overhand rights all day and they don't know the game of jiu-jitsu, they don't have a wrestling game, they don't have, you know, the fundamentals for mixed martial arts, it makes the fight very boring. And that's not what XFN is about. XFN is about excitement and professionalism. I can easily, you know, find the biggest ticket sellers and call them my headliners because, you know, those people are going to sell the most tickets. Those fans are going to stay until the end of the event, and it's going to make the event look good. But for anybody who knows anything about mixed martial arts, they're going to watch the fights, and they're going to know right away that the quality is no good. So when I'm out there scouting, and I literally go out to almost every amateur event throughout the state of Florida, and I personally scout fighters, I'm looking for those fighters that really mean business and that really bring it. Another thing that I focus on is looking for the fighters that train with serious camps. A lot of shows will put independent fighters together just to add fights to the fight card, and that's always great because, you know, adds to the number of fights, but the quality isn't there. However, the fighters who are training at the serious camps are training under coaches who train professionals, who know what they're supposed to be doing, who keep track of their fighters, who know when they're watching their weight, who know when they're showing up to practice, and those are the fighters that I can also rely on so that the money that I put in to promote them doesn't go to waste by them backing out last minute or coming up with an excuse not to fight. The fighters that we find are fighters that I know I can count on that will show up the day of and that fight their heart out. And you know, that's the way it should be if you ask me.
So do you believe that some of the fighters you bring on who might not have, quote-unquote, a perfect record on paper, that their losses are more impressive than some people's wins?
You know, I'm very happy that you asked that question because there is one fight in particular that I'd like to discuss that's happening at XFN 3. And it's about one individual fighter who is one of my favorite fighters in Florida. And his name is Juan King. Now, this kid's record is 1-8. He has 8 losses to 1 victory. I have seen every single one of this guy's fights. He's a beast. His only losses have only come by decision. He goes out to war. He's a very physically intimidating person with a lot of skill and a very good background in martial arts. So a current Marine, he's an active Marine, and he brings it every time. Now, some people tell me, listen, the guy's 1-8. Why are you still giving him fights? Why are you still putting him out there? You know, he's already got 8 losses. What's the point? What's the point, you ask me? This guy works harder than anybody else out there. This guy fights his heart out, and he shows up every single time. He shows up on weight, on point, and he fights his heart out. Unfortunately, he left it in the judges' decisions 8 times. And those 8 times, the judges saw it the other way. But you know how it is in the sport of MMA. One judge sees it one way. Another judge sees it another. Unless you're in there and unless you're physically in the fight, you can't really tell who won. You can't leave it to the judges. That's one thing that I'll say. If you want to win a fight, you got to finish it. You got to submit the guy. You got to knock the guy out. If you're going to leave it to the judges, you might as well count it as a loss before they even record it.
I want to thank you for letting me jump in the show, sir. Good luck on your event. It sounds like a great one.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I hope that you can check it out. It's going to be Saturday, September 13th at the Broward Convention Center in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Well, all right, Daniel, we're going to keep you on a little bit longer, man. We don't want you to go just yet.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. Now, as you said, the Broward Convention Center, I'm looking at pictures of this place. Tell us a little bit about the venue because, I mean, it looks sweet.
Yeah, sweet is definitely a good way to describe it. The fighters who are going to be fighting at this event are really in for a treat. They don't even know it yet. I don't think any of the fighters have seen it yet, and I don't think that any of the fighters have ever fought in a venue of this capacity. Just to give comparison, my last event was at a venue that was just under 10,000 square feet. Now, XFN 3 at Broward Convention Center is a whopping 65,000 square feet. This is a serious convention center. The venue is huge. It is very tight with security. It's located right in the Port of Everglades, in the heart of Fort Lauderdale. We will have probably one of the most classy mixed martial arts events that you will see in the whole Southeast region. I'm gonna go there and say even outside of Florida, out of the Southeast region of the United States, I don't think there's been a classier amateur MMA event, or let alone pro, because I've heard of a lot of pro shows that take place at small shady clubs where you'll pay $40, but then you got to stand for the entire event. At this event, it's all seating. It's all seating.
That's
the VIP seating has tables. Each table seats 4. There will be UFC celebrities in the house. Hector Lombard, for one. He's a UFC top 10 contender. He's going to be in-house showcasing his new clothing line, Showweather FC. Also, Dustin Poirier and Tisha Torres, who was just featured in last night's The Ultimate Fighter Season 20. She will be there as well. So not only is the convention center something really impressive, but the celebrities in-house are definitely going to be the worth the price of admission in itself.
Man, that's crazy with the amount of space you have and the quality of fighters you're having just to watch, as well as the ones that are actually stepping in the cage. What does it take going out there and getting these big-name UFC fighters to come to your event? What does that take?
Well, one thing I'll tell you, it takes a lot of money, that's for sure. But the money is really just for the marketing. It really takes establishing relationships. Hector Lombard trains at American Top Team Coconut Creek, which I actually used to train at for 3 years, and he's a very nice guy. I've been privileged to get to know him on a personal level, and you know, he's happy to support XFN3. He's happy to support the fighters, and we're happy to support him and his new clothing line, Showweather. Tisha Torres, on the other hand, she's a personal friend. I've known her back from her amateur fighting days. She actually fought on Aaron Rasman's promotion. Aaron Rasman is co-promoting XFN3 with me. And she fought on his ABC event when she was still an amateur. So she's always been loyal. She's a good friend, and she's always come out to support the event. So I'm very happy that I've been able to establish a good relationship with her. And Dustin Poirier, Mirsad Bektik, you know, they're expected to come with Coach Chuck out of American Top Team. Both these guys are fantastic strikers, and I personally have taken many leg kicks from Mirsad Bektik, so I think I earned that one just by leg kicks by themselves. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, it's good to hear about you keeping relationships with fighters. That's what we talk about a lot here on Cage Zombies Radio is bringing these fighters in, talking about them, getting them exposure when they're young in their careers. And then when they become big, I mean, they return the favor. We have people that come back to our show all the time that we had on when they were younger. Now they're fighting in the UFC. Now I want to dive back into the fight card real fast. You're dishing out your inaugural welterweight strap. That's one of the first title fights. Tell us a little bit about this fight.
Yeah, okay, this is one that I'm particularly excited about. It's between two of what I can honestly say probably the best welterweights in the state of Florida. The first one being Miguel Beza. He is 3-0. The kid is undefeated. His first amateur fight, he fought for a title against one of the tougher opponents in Florida, and he won in impressive fashion. And he came back to win two fights in a row, and both were title fights. Elite Promotions welterweight title, the ABC welterweight title, and the Fight Time Promotions amateur welterweight title as well. Now, this guy is 6 feet tall. He's very long, and he has very good boxing. Now, to add to his boxing, he's got killer jiu-jitsu. Just a couple months ago, I watched him compete at the New Breed Jiu-Jitsu competition in Coral Springs, where he won the absolute division, going up against black belts from various gyms here in South Florida. So he's definitely a dangerous fighter and definitely somebody who I'm very happy is fighting for my XFN belt. Now, his opponent is a very scary guy. This guy, his name is John Michael Escoboza. We call him Jomi. He's 6'4", fighting at 170 pounds. He's a huge welterweight, and he's known for his Muay Thai. He's got very good reach. He has excellent, accurate head kicks that he throws extremely quickly, and his hands are dangerous. Not only is he 4-2 in amateur MMA, but I do believe he has an undefeated kickboxing record as well. Recently this year, he earned his blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He also earned his blue belt in judo. And in his most recent fight, he utilized his wrestling to completely shut down his opponent, who is known for being a submission artist. So as he got that win, as soon as I was able to say this guy has fully evolved into a complete well-rounded mixed martial artist, I knew that I needed to have him on the show, and I knew that I needed to have him fight for my title. So this is definitely going to be an exciting fight. It can go either way. If you had to ask me who I'd pick to win, man, I couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you honestly.
The fans win that one, right?
The fans, absolutely. I mean, this fight is going to be exciting. Both guys with fantastic striking. Both guys with good jiu-jitsu. I mean, this is just going to be an all-out battle. And you know what? If the fans aren't the ultimate winner, I'm the ultimate winner because I have the privilege of sitting there and watching these two guys compete, and I have the privilege of crowning one of them as my champion. So it's going to be a great fight.
Now real quick before we run out of time, you have one more inaugural belt going out. That's the featherweight one. And then after that, can you break down the main event, which is the light heavyweight title fight?
Absolutely. So our featherweight title fight is between two local South Florida fighters. The first being John Armoyan. He's fighting out of American Top Team Coconut Creek, and this kid is crazy. I mean, you would tell anybody in their career, get off your back. You don't want to be on your back. You know what this guy does? This guy puts himself on his back, and he submits you from his back. I've never seen anybody submit more people with triangles in my entire life. He's a very dangerous jiu-jitsu fighter, and his striking is really coming into play. He's definitely got his strengths on the ground, but I'm excited to see what he does in the stand-up as well. His opponent is Corey Samuels, and Corey is another fighter that has constantly proven himself to be very dangerous, no matter where the fight went. He's also fought on the international tournament called Fighter Source, in which he won his fight. And he's just one of those well-rounded fighters that when you put these two guys together, crazy things are going to happen. I mean, you never know. One of these guys might even pull off one of those Pettis kicks, jumping off the cage, kicking the other guy in the head. I mean, I'm really curious as to what's going to happen there. So one of those guys is going to walk away with the XFN 145-pound title. Now, in the main event, we have Carl Ranieri and Daniel Cromer. They're both fighting for the XFN 205-pound title. Now, in November of 2013, Eugene Feliciano, he fought for the XFN 205-pound title and won in dominant fashion, completely demolishing his opponent who ran through every single one of his previous opponents, beating all of them in the first round. Eugene was set to make his pro debut earlier this year, which is why, unfortunately, he wasn't scheduled to defend his title. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to make his pro debut as well because of opponents pulling out. But Carl Ranieri, let me tell you about this guy. He's one of the bigger, one of the stronger, one of the scarier 205-pound fighters that I've seen. He's posted videos of him training up on Facebook where he literally lifts his training partner off the ground with uppercuts. I mean, the guy is just holding pads for him, and he's lifting him at least a foot off the ground with his uppercuts. This guy's got enormous power. And he's 3-0 with a belt coming out of American Battle Championship. His opponent, Daniel Cromer, is a veteran jiu-jitsu fighter fighting out of North Florida. He is also 3-0, undefeated in all his fights. All of his fights he won in impressive fashion, and he also is one big monster. So this fight, man, is definitely going to have a lot of power. And, you know, the fans can expect to see something crazy, man. Something big's going to happen. And one of those guys is going to walk out with the championship belt.
This sounds like a fabulous, amazing, action-packed fight card, man. You're getting me pumped up just talking about it. I believe Matthew's covering it down in Florida. If he's not, I know he'll be feeding us results. Hopefully he is covering it so he can give us the recap next week on the show. But, Daniel, we appreciate you coming on. And before we let you go, let everybody listening know where they can get tickets at and just give any shout-outs you want to give.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to thank you very much for having me on the show, giving me a chance to talk about our event this weekend. If you want to come out to the event, tickets are available at 27statefestival.com. under spectators tickets. I want to give a shout out to all the sponsors, to GNC, Boca Tanning Club, Show Weather FC, Osu Wear, Spartan Race, and man, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, and Pocket MMA. If anybody hasn't heard about Pocket MMA, This is two South Florida guys that came up with an MMA trading card game, and they feature all the fighters. This is something really exciting. Come out to the show September 13th, 2014, at the Broward Convention Center. Make sure to check out the booth. Have a great time. Doors open at 6:30. First fight, 7:30.
Sounds good, Daniel. Once again, thanks for coming on. We can't wait for the fight card, and good luck.
Thank you very much. Hope to be here again soon.
All right, you take care, Daniel.
Something Okay, people, time to disperse. Party's over.